This feast of Pentecost is a unique one in the life of the church. It is, in a sense, a miniaturized version of the Easter Vigil. There's only a few liturgies in the course of the year where you have more than two readings. The Easter Vigil is probably the most prominent of them. We have seven readings from the Old Testament at the Easter Vigil and one second reading from the New Testament along with the Gospel. At Pentecost, at the Vigil, you have the option of having five readings, first readings, followed by sung prayers, just as we do at the Easter Vigil. And so when we see that kind of stark distinction that the Church offers us in the liturgy, it should grab our attention. And if it's like the Easter Vigil in its structure, it should be somewhat like the Easter Vigil in its theology. Pentecost, like very few other days in the course of the year, also has a sequence, which we sung before the Gospel acclamation. We have sequences on the octave of Easter at Pentecost, and the other, I believe, is Epiphany, when the liturgical calendar of the year is announced. So all of these things grab our attention. This liturgy is different than others. This celebration is different than others. Pentecost is, of course, as most of us know, the celebration of the sending of the Holy Spirit in tongues of fire upon the disciples, commissioning them to go forth in the place of Jesus to minister in his name, to be Christ to others, to form the church. This is the birthday of the church. And also, if we look at the difference of readings from the vigil to today, we gain further insight into the theological meaning of the day. The first reading from last night was from the book of Genesis, and it's the story of the Tower of Babel, in which the people build a city, decide they don't need God, they can build a tower and reach God on their own, and God confounds them, of course, by scattering them through many languages. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear, in a sense, the restoration of that, where God, sending the Holy Spirit, grants those who can speak many languages the ability to understand and be perceived by others, the gift of tongues, as we would call it. It brings to completion the work of creation. That is, in a sense, the theme of Pentecost. It's why it caps the season of Easter. It brings to completion the work of Easter. Just as I said last week, the ascension completes the resurrection. Christ suffers, dies, rises, but remains on earth. And it's on his ascension, when he ascends to heaven, that that work is completed. Pentecost completes the work of the entire Easter season, and it caps our 50 days of Easter. Now, we become Christ after he's ascended to others. We become the sign of Christ, the church. That's what we call it, the church. The visible sign of Christ in the world. And of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we have seven distinct gifts. Gifts that are poured out into the members of her body, to be Christ. We have wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And each of these gifts is poured not all into one member, but some into every. Wisdom, which is the capacity to love spiritual things more than material. Also to understand the wants of God. Understanding, to understand how we need to live as followers of Christ. A counsel, we call this right judgment. The understanding or the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. Fortitude, or what we might call courage, the ability to overcome our fear and our willingness to take risks as followers of Christ. We see this most perfectly, for instance, in the martyrs. Knowledge, to understand the true meaning of God, to understand what God reveals to us. In piety, to have a deep sense of respect for God and for the church. And fear of the Lord, which we might call wonder or awe of God. That is, we are filled with the sense of God's glory and majesty, a deep abiding appreciation for the magnificence of God. All of these virtues help us to understand in some way, some aspect of the I guess you would call them the attributes of God. God has four main attributes. He's truth, he's goodness, he's oneness or unity, and he's beauty. Those are the divine attributes of God. And on Pentecost, perhaps the most prominent of those is unity. Unity is the clear sign of Pentecost. What was disunified at the Tower of Babel is unified in the Acts of the Apostles. And forming a body, the church, God unifies it first for his mission. It is perhaps the virtue that we are most in need of in our world and in our culture today. Sense of unity. Unity in being collectively, whether we're believers or not, sons and daughters of God. Unity within the life of the church to once again proclaim with one heart and one mind the teachings of the church. And to show with a unity and a oneness the beauty of Christ, the splendor of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God the Father. Unity, in a sense, makes the church, and disunity breaks her. Unity must be what we have if we are to go forth as apostles as they were 2,000 years ago, as it is today. Pentecost is also a time to do some self-reflection on those gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are the gifts that God has given us? Whether that's the gifts of our craft or our trade or our job. But what are the spiritual gifts that he's given us? Given me, given you. And what are the ones that he hasn't? I think in humility, part of that examination has to be, what are the gifts I don't have? What are the gifts that I need? And to pray once more this year as we celebrate this outpouring of the Spirit for the gifts that we need to live our lives in holiness, in peace, and in unity. God brings us all together now into one body to celebrate and to receive his Son Christ in the oneness of the bread and wine made into his body and blood. Communion then becomes that sign of oneness and unity. And what we celebrate every Sunday, every time we receive the Eucharist, is a celebration of the unity of the church, of the unity of all believers. Come, Holy Spirit, enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.